and welcome to the Literary Hype Podcast. I am Stephanie, your literary hype woman, and today's author conversation is from a debut author. I love introducing readers to debut authors and giving you someone new to check out. And so today's author, her name is Christine Ma Kellums. She's a psychologist and a K-pop fan, so she kind of smushed them all together into her novel and is giving us The Band, which is about a K-pop star on the run who hides out with a psychologist. So we have a lot to unpack on this one. Here's my conversation with Christine Ma Kellums. Welcome to Literary Hype. It's so exciting to have you on to talk about your debut, The Band.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about what this story is about.
Okay, so it's about a K-pop boy bander who essentially gets canceled when he's at the height of, like, global domination. So he ends up running to America and meets a therapist at an H-Mart and ends up, like, hiding in her house. And it's essentially about how that spirals a whole series of events that changes the nature of the music industry.
So you're a big K-pop fan, BTS fan, as am I. How much of this is BTS inspired?
I would say a lot of it. Like, if you know about BTS and you read the book, you will probably find Easter eggs galore in all the specific, like, BTS type references. If you don't know BTS, you'll be like, oh, that was interesting.
Can you give us an example of one?
The producer of the band is largely, like, inspired by BTS's producer, like, Bang Si-hyuk. And so, like, a lot of the references about this stuff, like, his persona is, like, sort of in the book. I'm trying to think other examples. Their first ever music video, like, where they have, like, that very specific, like, hip-hop look they have.
With no more dreams.
Yes. And the eyeliner. Like, I also referenced that in, like, the opening page. Because I really, I know they didn't get, like, super popular from that video, but I really liked that music video. And I thought it was great. Even watching it, like, years and years later. So, yeah, that's like, another shout-out to BTS reference.
This book has a really unique voice. You don't often see a lot of footnotes in fiction. Talk about crafting this story and making sure it's true to the psychologist who is the person he's hanging out with's voice and the decision to keep those footnotes.
I always like to tinker with, like, form or structure when I'm writing. Like, when I read books myself, I always like reading stuff that I haven't read before or that, like, breaks my expectations. So I thought, like, putting footnotes and, like, making these, like, very true to life references about things that are actually, like, phenomena in psychology and, like, things, ideas and studies that actually have been done, I thought would be a neat take, because the narrator is a psychologist and she would know these things anyway. So I thought, rather than, like, discarding them or pretending that those aren't interesting, trying to, like, incorporate them into the story. And I think most people have, like, general interest in pop psychology and how it might apply to their lives, and especially from, like, a cross-cultural standpoint, that a lot of the studies are referencing, like, mental health in Asian versus, like, American populations. I thought that might be, like, an interesting take.
How much research did you do on finding the right studies to reference in this book?
I wish I could say I did so much research, so much work. But I honestly, like, I teach on this stuff all the time. Like, I have a whole separate, like, cultural psychology textbook that, like, does a deep dive into a lot of these things. So most of these things I already knew. And occasionally I had to pull up the reference because I didn't remember the reference, but not that much research.
And in this book, The Band has won a Grammy. Do you think we will ever see a K-pop band win a Grammy?
Oh God, this is me manifesting. Like, every year, I talk about how it's a sham that BTS has not won a Grammy. And I hope soon BTS will win a Grammy, so that this is less about me just manifesting that and hoping that it'll still happen. And I think they really deserve one. And I know, like, they're not the only group to be snubbed by the Grammys, so I realize that's, like, not necessarily specific to K-pop. But I do feel like it's really about time that K-pop gets more recognition from, like, Grammy Academy. And not just BTS, like, other K-pop groups. I am continually surprised that not more of them are nominated for, like, different awards.
Hello, Stray Kids, ATEEZ, TWICE, LE SSERAFIM. I've said that very weird. LE SSERAFIM. There's so many good K-pop bands that are achieving such big things. What's it like for you to be writing in a space while K-pop and K-dramas are in this big Hallyu, the Korean wave, What's it like for you to be writing in that?
I'm like Asian American, so I don't necessarily feel like I'm part of the wave. I feel like all that is happening sort of independent of whatever's necessarily happening in America. Like, I feel like Korea really has their act together in terms of how much like dedication and it like planning went into this Hallyu phenomenon. I think as Americans, we're like, oh, K-pop, K-dramas, K-beauty, like all these Korean things are suddenly like entering like mass awareness. But I think if you look at it from like a historical standpoint, and I almost feel like an outsider looking at it, because like I wasn't there when it first started happening. I'm only like coming into recognition. I think as a lot of like other Americans are, where like having spent most of my adult life, was I have no idea what's going on in like East Asia, like on the ground. So I feel like if you look at a historical standpoint, especially as an outsider, you realize, oh my god, this is like decades in the planning. Like they decided when like China was like getting into manufacturing and Japan was getting into technology, Korea was planning like how to get into culture and like overtake the world with like their incredible cultural like exports. And so when I look at it from like that standpoint, I'm like always in awe that like this wasn't accidental, this wasn't just like luck, this was incredible amounts of like hard work and dedication in years. And same with K-pop, right? Like it looks so effortless when they perform, like these elaborate choreographies, right? And then you realize, no, it's because for the last 10 plus years they've been putting out in like 12 hour days of like in the studio or like in the, you know, choreography room. And I think that like level of dedication and work is something that's really unique with what they're doing.
And this story has a little bit of a dark side with the dual timeline, which took me far too long to figure out what was going on. I was very tired reading this book, and I was like, I'm confused. And then I figured it out, and I was like, oh, this makes more sense now.
Oh, good.
I was so tired reading
it. It's not necessarily an easy read. Everyone needs to be forewarned.
it's got some dark subject matter. So how do you take care of yourself when you're writing about such dark subject matter?
I honestly think it's like therapy. Like when I write about dark stuff, I feel like it makes it less scary and frightening, because then you get to like handle it, you get to dissect it, you get to figure out what's going on and why it's happening. And I feel like part of the reason the scariest things in the world are so scary is because they're mysterious, right? Like we don't know why it's happening or how. And I think that like that confusion or that like lack of meaning when something horrible happens and we have no idea why and we don't know how to control it is the scary part. But when you unpack something that's dark and terrible and you try to see all the factors and forces that go into it, I think it sort of defangs it a little bit, and it's like therapeutic because it makes you feel better. It makes you like feel like you have some control over it because you know how it happens and why it happens. So that's like my approach when I write about like terrible things happening to good people. I hope that it does feel therapeutic somewhat, even if you're someone who's like knows what I'm talking about, knows how dark it could get.
Dispatch makes an appearance.
I in this book. Can they not?
Exactly. Yeah. And so we see in this that like the labels are kind of working with Dispatch. Mm-hmm. How do you think that, do you feel like that's a real thing, or is it out there? I don't know. I'm a baby K-pop. I am baby, so I'm still learning. And I was like, is this, it's like the British royal family paying off the tabloids.
Yes.
Is this a real thing and I just don't realize?
Yeah, until I hear it came out and said it. Yeah, so I don't know for sure. Obviously, I have no like inside sources that can confirm or deny that this is actually happening. But I'm not normally a conspiracy theorist, but I just have to say, I'm like, come on. The fact that like we don't get more incriminating photos of like BTS or like any other K-pop band for that matter. And by incriminating, I don't mean like they're doing something bad. I just mean they're living their normal lives. Like, I don't know, out and about and being with someone of the opposite gender, for example. Like,
which is a huge thing.
Yeah, which like, is not incriminating, but you know, some will get
so
a response.
It's so scandalous.
Yeah, exactly. Right, like the fact that we don't have a single photo of any of these members just like hanging out with a woman, like casually. I'm just like, come on, that's not accidental. I feel like that's strategic. Like there must be some kind of planning or agreement going on. And I'm sure like they have their own lives. And the fact that, and I sort of respect that like symbiotic relationship that Dispatch has. I think it's unique to Dispatch because like TMZ, for example, doesn't seem to have an arrangement with like American celebrities. But I do think that produces this interesting dynamic where with K-pop, you really don't necessarily know that much, like what they're doing in their private lives. And I think that's good, and I think that also produces a lot of speculation about what might be happening.
So this book, one of the main characters is a psychologist. You are a psychologist. What would you do differently if you met a K-pop idol in the wild?
Gosh, I've never even thought about that. I have no plans on meeting one. I mean, I probably would not invite them over to my house. Like, that's just... Like, even as, like, I don't know, I just... I don't think my real-life family would be okay with that. They'd be very upset with me. So just, like, practically speaking, I probably... Even the celebrities, I probably... And honestly, I'm so shy as a person that, like, if I were to meet a celebrity in real life, like, even if they attempt a conversation, I would probably, like, run away. Because I would just be, like, terrified. I generally don't talk to strangers. Like, when I'm out, I'm not, like... super extroverted, so like even if they're celebrity, it would just make me more nervous. Probably just run away. Like, this book would not happen if it was really me.
So how are you feeling about putting your first book out
in the world? I'm nervous but also excited. I feel like books feel like babies or like pregnancy, right, where it's like so much build up and then it finally comes and it's like oftentimes not according to expectation. So yeah, like, I'm super excited. I feel like I've been working on this forever, and I'm happy to have it out there, but I'm also, like, no idea what to expect. So we'll see how it goes.
Since you mentioned babies, one of your kids is running around this convention wearing a shirt with your book on it.
Yes.
How did that come about?
Actually, I'm part of this group of 2024 debuts, and someone had mentioned in the group that they made a shirt. I think their husband was wearing it or something, and I thought that was a random idea, and I think I mentioned it in passing at home, and my kid was like, we have to do that, we have to do that. And I didn't actually like think much about it, but then since he decided to come to Comic-Con with me, he was like, we have to do it for Comic-Con. There's like no other better place for me to wear this shirt that we haven't made yet. So literally like the week before coming here, he was like, we have to make it now. And he just went online, he created it, and like we ordered shipping and hoped that it was gonna come in time, and it did. So I'm super like pleasantly surprised that he's this into the fact that his mother wrote a book.
It's so cute. And since this is literary hype, what books are you hyped about?
So Kylie Reed has a relatively new book that just came out, Come and Get It. So that's the one I'm reading right now. Because I loved her like debut. Like, she's one of my like favorite authors who is super literary but also like very like just commercially appealing. So Death Valley is the other one I have in my backpack. I'm gonna read it on the plane on the way back. That just sounds like a really interesting take. It's based in California, which I love, and the premise seems really neat, so that's another one. Excited to read.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with me.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Christine for hanging out with me at Emerald City Comic Con, being part of the panels that I got to moderate. It was so much fun getting to know her outside of social media. If you'd like to check out the band for yourself, the link to do so is in the show notes. If you enjoyed this conversation, don't forget to give us some stars and subscribe. Thanks for listening to the Literary Hype Podcast.